In the past, many common household items contained lead, everything from water pipes to drinking vessels to eating utensils. Most people had lead in their blood, but it was believed that some amount of lead was acceptable. Over the past few decades, however, scientists have determined that even trace amounts of lead in children's bodies leads to long-term neurological and behavioral problems. One of those scientists is Kim Cecil from the University of Cincinnati. She was part of a team of researchers who took annual blood samples from several hundred lead-exposed children for more than 20 years. The children lived in a Cincinnati neighborhood located near a busy highway.
These kids, the neighborhood that they were recruited from is adjacent to an interstate, so their playgrounds are contaminated outside their homes, and then their internal environment, the paint, most of them live in older rental housing, the lead would chip off and then eventually become dust that settles on the floors and the windowsills. And when they were toddlers, as they start crawling around, they get that lead dust on their hand from the windowsills and the floors. They put it in their mouth.
Now these toddlers are young adults in their 20s, and Cecil and her colleagues brought them into the hospital for brain scans. While they were in the brain scanning machine, they were asked to do tasks that required concentration and attention. The researchers were able to see which parts of their brains were most active.
When we plotted that circuit in the brain against their childhood blood lead levels, we found those with the higher blood lead measurement had less activity in the part of the brain normally used to do the attention task.
These problems existed years after the lead exposure, long after their blood lead levels had decreased. What Cecil found most interesting was that there were differences in the brains of the males and the females exposed to lead as children. The male brains, especially those nerve-rich parts of the brain associated with thinking and remembering, seemed to have sustained more long-term damage from high lead levels than the brains of the young women.
We see that the men have greater volume loss. The men have greater changes in their white matter.
Cecil also saw that the brains of the young women did a better job of compensating for the damage. She says this will be her next line of inquiry, whether female hormones such as estrogen somehow protect young women from the neurological damage created by exposure to lead. Cecil presented her findings at the annual meeting of the Radiological Society of North America. That's today's Health Brief. I'm Rose Hoban.
These kids, the neighborhood that they were recruited from is adjacent to an interstate, so their playgrounds are contaminated outside their homes, and then their internal environment, the paint, most of them live in older rental housing, the lead would chip off and then eventually become dust that settles on the floors and the windowsills, and when they were toddlers, as they start crawling around, they get that lead dust on their hand from the windowsills and the floors. They put it in their mouth. When we plotted that circuit in the brain against their childhood blood lead levels, we found those with the higher blood lead measurement had less activity in the part of the brain normally used to do the attention task. We see that the men have greater volume loss. The men have greater changes in their white matter.